I'm giving in your heart is her. Yeah, glory. He deserves all the glory, honor, and power, and His, yes, praise Him. Yes, Jesus, the name. Serve it tonight and power to Him. Jesus, Jesus, my boy. Oh. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so happy and joyful and glad to be here tonight. Father, there's no other place that I'd rather be but among your people. A place that we have consecrated, set aside to come and to worship you and to glorify your name. Father, tonight, Father, like Moses when he struck that rock in the desert, people was thirsty. And that water just flows. Tonight, Father, we ask you, as we strike that rock that is Jesus Christ, that the water will flow, Father, and flow healing for those that need healing. That you can flow some joy. That you can flow whatever we have need for our affliction, Lord. Father, tonight our hearts are thirsting, Lord, for you. Let that water come tonight. That living water. Lord, fill my cup. Is what we just sung. Fill my cup. Father, we thank you tonight. Be with those that are not here. Those that are streaming. Those that are away. Vacationing or visiting. Father, protect them and keep them. Those that are streaming, bless them just as well, Father. We thank you again for bringing our brother pastor back and safe and sound, rested. Father, we love you because what you do for us, Father, every day your promises, your mercies are new. Your goodness and your mercy follow us all the days of our life. And today is no different. Father, we want to talk about you. We want to talk about Jesus. And our prophet told us that when we talk about Jesus, he will come in. Father, tonight we want you to come, to feel free to walk among your people. Father, let your presence saturate this room and let every heart receive, Father, blessings from you. Open the windows of heaven, Lord. And let it flow tonight. Father, we love you and we thank you for this opportunity that we have to honor you and to adore you and to praise you and to worship you, Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you for protecting us and cover us and keep us. Father, if it wasn't for you, who knows where we are now. But thank you again. Father, we appreciate everything you do. There's no words to explain it, but Father, with this word that you have given us, this language, Father, we just pour our heart to you tonight. Have your way. In Jesus' name, we ask you these things. Amen. And the bride says, amen. Thank you. Musician, thank you for your service. Let's get going because I got a lot, okay? So, since I don't get to preach a lot, when I preach, I take advantage of you guys. Just whatever God put in my heart. No, I promise you, no more, no less than that. Okay. So let us read again. I'm going to finish maturity. I tried to get away from them. I wanted to do something else. I started another thought. Once I had finished doing all the research and got all the quotes and meditated about it and pulled everything, then and this is not the way I wanted to go. Oh, God didn't want me to go that way. So I scratched all that. Not that I did some work, but it was just raw, you know, just searching and looking for things. But I couldn't get away from this thought. So tonight, I promise you, this is the finale. I'm going to take it all, and I'm going to put it in the box, and we're going to wrap it up, and we're going to put a bow on it, and here you have it. Take it home. Amen. Ephesians 4:13. And our subject tonight, and my title of this sermon is, again, mature or maturity, full potential. So, Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man or woman, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness. Fullness, that means that's all. There's no more left. I mean, you can get no higher than being full completely. Once it gets full, it just overflows, right? But all the fullness of Christ. Don't you want that tonight? Yeah. I mean, are you satisfied just with what you got tonight? Are we satisfied with just to come to church and sing and that's all? I want more than that. Yeah. I want the fullness of Christ in me. Yeah. Is that your desire? Yeah. Then join me. You can be seated. So Paul starts here talking about, again, a full, mature son or daughter of God. And then I call it the full potential. It means the same thing. And what do we mean about a full potential? Well, before we get to that, let's break this Ephesians 4:13 down a little bit. The unity of the faith. There's only one faith. There's not two. There's not three. And if you and I are going to unite, we got to unite around one faith. Amen. And it's only the faith of Christ that we can unite. Any other faith, any other belief, will not do it. Somebody's going to scratch all that out and let us come back to the basic, to the board, and start all over again. If we haven't understand that there's only one faith. You know, when I was with the Baptists, that night that they decided to ask for my resignation because I received this message and I baptized my daughter in, I told you this before, I think I remember this. So, in the name of Jesus Christ, I couldn't do it no different way. That was the faith. I could not go back, even if I wanted to, because there was no longer any other faith but the faith of Christ. They said, well, we don't understand. I said, why don't you understand? Well, that's not the Baptist faith. They said, well, yeah, I agree with you. That is not the Baptist faith. Right. That's why we have a disagreement, because there's only one faith. And if you got the same faith, I don't care if you're Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, if you're following that faith of Christ, we should at least be what? United. That is the only faith that is going to unite us. Why we have so many divisions in even in this message, because we are talking about different faiths, Brother Calvo. But if it's just one faith that we rally around in, there should be no division. That faith will unite us together. And Paul says, until we get to that faith, so might as well let's make our mind that is what we want. And when we talk to each other, let's talk about that faith, and that is the only faith that it is. There's no other belief. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. See? Precise. Not somebody else, not some other idea, not something here and there, but it has to be exactly, see? And correct the will of God only. There's no other will, there's no other knowledge. The only knowledge that I can recognize is come from the Word of God. And as long as you and I can recognize that that is the only knowledge that it is, and that is the only thing that is going to unite us, and that is the only thing that we can agree on it, and we are going to come in one mind in one accord. Besides that, we are not going to come in one mind in one accord. Because I got my opinions, and you got yours. And I'm just as good as yours. And you think you're better than me, or my opinions, not me. We all got opinions. We all got thoughts. We all got, you know, ideas. But there's only one thought, and it's only one idea that we can rally around, and that is the will of God. That is the only knowledge that I need this morning. It says, many people, like in 2 Titus or Timothy, Titus 3:7 says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of what? Of the truth. There's only one knowledge, and that knowledge, if we have the right knowledge that is the will of God, we should see the truth. You cannot miss it. But if we're missing the target, then we are not doing the right knowledge. The knowledge is the will of God, the revelation of that, of His will through His word. Now, then it says, the Son of God unto a perfect man. So Paul is meaning here that we are coming to an end. God is bringing us to an end, to a completion. God is finishing the work in us. See, we are fully mature. We got to the point that we got all that we have need of, the fullness of Christ. When that happened, I'm complete. The only reason I'm here, maybe because I still need a few things. So, because if I was complete, I would be out of here. For sure, you won't see me again. You will see him. You won't see me again. But see, that is the full maturity. It's when we get to that point that we are complete and finished. Now, how many of you can say that you are complete and finished? Well, by faith, you can say that. But see, that's the problem. You're looking at yourself. The more you look at yourself, the more errors you see and the more mistakes you see. And the more, don't look at the flesh. We're talking about His knowledge. We're talking about His word. We're talking about His faith. When I look at all that, I know I am complete in Him. But Satan likes to beat us down, huh? To the full potential. So we know that everything that was in Christ, God emptied everything into Christ. But Christ emptied everything in where? Into the church. So He emptied His power. He emptied His blessing. He emptied the riches of heaven. God, you know, don't do things halfway. He goes all the way. But each one of us has a portion of that. We don't have it all. Jesus had it all. But we do have a portion of His blessing. We have a portion of His power. We have a portion. We got a part. So when we come together as a body, that's a different story. See? Because now when we get together, then the body becomes complete. And now whatever we had lacking of is no more lacking, because what I didn't have, Brother Simon has it. What I don't have, Brother Park, what you don't have, John has it. So when we come together as a group, then we are lacking nothing. Now, I lack a lot of things, but that's how God made it. He didn't give me everything. He gave me a portion. Because He did that because it's a body move. So I need, this finger needs this hand needs this forearm needs the shoulder, we need the brain. If He would have given me anything, then I don't need anybody. If I had everything, I can lay a hand on me and I can be healed. But the Bible don't say that. I think I can reach, yes. The Bible said to lay hands on the sick. Who? You laying hand on somebody else, not on yourself. So you're going to need me. You're going to need the ministry. You're going to need your brother. See? Because God did not make this to be an independent kind of a thing. We depend on one another. Why? Because we got parts. Parts And you think, and I think, that we can go out there and make it on our own. Wrong. You can try. I tried it already. It don't work. Right. We're going to need one another to get out of this place. Because until the body is complete, until the last one is in, there is no rapture. Amen. So full potential means that portion, the measure portion of Christ that is empty into each one of us is what makes the body. And when the body comes together, that's completion. See? It will be completion one of these days. Ephesians 3:10 says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The church is displaying what? The wisdom in variety form. See? You got a portion, you got a portion, you got a portion. You are a gene of God. You are a word of God. You was in his thought. You are a thought of God. You are a thought of God. So the world can see when we come together, we can display who? The wisdom of God. That's why Brother Brown says the only place they're going to see Jesus today, God today, is where? When you get together. When you get together, it should be God manifesting in the place. And that's what we want. We want God to manifest in the place. I want God to display his attributes. When you go to work, when you go to school, I don't care where you go, you should always, you know, yield to God so he can display himself through you. That is all he wants. And that is all my purpose in life. I ain't got no other purpose, to let him have his way. And when we come together in church, we should come together in such a way that we can display him in church. I didn't come to church just to sit down and be entertained. I didn't come here just so I can receive. I came here so we can come together as a body and let him come forward and manifest himself. That's all I came for, to see him. But it's going to take all of us. If we want to create that kind of an atmosphere, it's going to take all of us, our attitudes, our expectation, whatever we came out with in here, we need to put it together. This is not about you. Are you or you or you? This is about him. So when you come through those doors, might as well forget about you. If you've been thinking about yourself all day long, that's fine. Nobody's around. I'm not affected. But when you come here, one can make the whole thing fall. Amen? When this is going to happen? When we're going to attain? When we're going to achieve this full potential? And the full potential is what Paul calls over here. Let me go back in Ephesians. The measurement of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the potential. See? That is no longer me, but it's him in me, in the body. When? When we're going to attain it? When we're going to reach or achieve this standard of living? Or a standard of maturity? When? When we're going to go all the way up, like the Bible says, to soar to those heights, like a stature, you know, that we be ready to fit his purpose. When are we going to get there? Listen, I don't think we have too much time. And I don't think you have too much time. And I don't think I'm out of time anyway. The rapture is overdue. The people need to get ready. That's all. We're not waiting for God to get ready. He done. He done everything he was going to do. It is finished. It's done. You and I, we need to get ready. See? So we can fit that purpose that he had in his mind before the foundation of the world. Moses, stature, you know, until we get to the stature, to the heights of the what? Of the Son of God. That is our purpose. That is our vision. That is our goal. And we should not stop until that will happen in our life. We cannot fall to sleep in the straw. We cannot just relax. There's no time to relax. It is time to move forward and go forward until we come up to the stature of the perfect man or perfect or mature. So Moses' stature, we know that in his mind he had that picture already, that image. Who was Da Vinci was? No, who was? Who did? Huh? Yeah, I'm trying to quiz you, but you pass. So Michelangelo had that vision, had that thought, had that idea. But when that idea materialized, it was so real. It was exactly that what he had in his mind, no less and no more. He got so excited to finally see his thought coming into reality that he struck it. He says, speak. And that is what God is waiting for you and us to get to that stature. That when he looks, he says, that's my son. That's my daughter. That is her or him that I knew before the foundation when they were with me. This is not you. That's not you. That's your flesh. The real you. That he saw you in the picture before the foundation. When you get there, when I get there, then he says, it is done. He probably speak. We're going to speak. But when we get there, when we get there, it will be soon. Paradox. But in the heart of that tree come forth the fruit. It's interesting that he says in the heart of the tree. Not in the branches, not in the trunk, in the heart of that tree. He says, right in the top of it, when the tree is fully mature, it cannot go any further. See? When we get there, you can go any further. So as long as you're still going, you ain't there. If you're still struggling and you're still fighting and the devil and you're still moving forward, you're not there yet. Because the day I get there, all my struggles are over. Because I have achieved what he wanted me to be. And when I get there, I will speak. We don't have to wait to get there to speak. We get to there in a minute. When the tree is fully mature, it cannot go no further. Right. Excuse me. Right in the top. The last church. Let me get some water here. The last church. Age is what? Here. In case you didn't know it, it's here. And she comes into a full mature. She is the bride. This is the last age. And she will come to what? To maturity. Everybody try. The 7-8 churches, 6-8 churches. The only reason they couldn't come to maturity is because they didn't have the word completely. They had portions. So until the end now, you have to excuse me. She comes into full mature. It is a bright tree, it says. Jesus was that tree, life from the Garden of Eden. Do you believe that? And the congregation said, amen. He was a tree of life. Now, so this is the time. This is the hour. This is the age that we are going to take a fly when we come to maturity. So we are not in the second, third, fourth age that they had time. We are out of time. They're waiting on you because you need to come to completion. The whole creation is waiting in the manifestation of the sons of God to get to that point, to that stature. We are the one holding the whole thing. Not God. He says, let me get this out of the way. Okay. And then how we will reach that standard. We know when now. How will I reach there, that standard? So I've been talking to you to the different stages of growth. Listen, my friend. like that black sister said, you know, I'm not what I used to be, and I'm not what I wanted to be. You know what she's saying? She's saying, my current situation, my current reality, my current circumstances do not match my desired reality. What I am right now, you know, I'm not that, but that is what I desire, but I'm not there neither. What I'm living right now is not what I want to be. But you don't want to stay there, and that's what I started with this, because you need to know. You just cannot use this as a stick, as you know, to lay on that stick and say, well, you know, I know I'm not what I used to be. So, but I know I'm not what I need to be. So where are you? Well, you come to church. We come to church. We sing. We do this. We do that. You know, we go home. And where are you? Are you growing? Are you moving forward or are you moving backward? You don't know. And I don't know until... until we can, that's where we are preaching. That's why we come here and do this. And that's why, Brother Doug, and it is to bring you to an awareness who you are, what you are, and where you are. Right. Because if you know where you are and where you came from, you know where you're going. Right. I mean, you cannot lose at all. Coming to church, that is why we minister to you. We minister to you an entrance and how to get to that entrance. Yes. Now, if you can figure it out yourself, fine. Then you don't need us. But I told you we need each other. So, by these phases that we go through, stages of growth that we go, it says in, let me see this, Hebrews 6:1, it says, therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. We need to be moving to perfection. If anything else we need to be doing when we come to church, when we pray, when we read the Bible, is that we can be a little bit better when we finish. When we leave this church, I want to live a little bit better than I came in. Because I want to move forward. And everything that I do, it has to be with my vision. Everything that I do, it has to line up with my goal. If not, I'm wasting my time. So we have to have a clear vision. We have to have clear goals, because then you won't waste your energy doing something that had nothing, that is not going to take you there. See? He says, leaving the principle of doctrine of Christ, let us go on to what? Unto maturity. He said, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. So what Paul is saying, Paul is saying here is, you know, stop being a child, you know. When I was a child, Paul said, I play and I think like a child, but I'm not a child any longer. I am a man, and I have to think like a man now. Amen. See, before a child, you can forgive him and can do your stuff, get away with everything. Well, that's so cute. Sometimes, well, grandparents, we the worst one, we just ruin our grandchildren. Because they cannot do nothing wrong. But now when you grow up, you're a man, then you're accountable for your actions. See, when you're a child, you're not. So Paul is saying, you know, what are you living this life, going back and going forward and going to a place and coming back and going here? Stop looking, stop searching, he says. Because you're not going to find. They're not going to find what they're looking for. Because they don't even know what they're looking for. I mean, if you want an answer, you want to know the question first before I can give you an answer. You cannot be what you want to be. You cannot get to your full potential. We cannot get to our full potential unless you know what that full potential is and how to get there. If you cannot perceive yourself being there, you will never get there. I will never get there. You have to perceive where you're going. Oh, I'm in the message, and I love the message. I love the prophets. I love God. I love the... you're standing. And you might be standing in the right place, in the rock. But where are you going? What direction are you heading? If that's all you know, and that's all you care, and that's all you love, you don't know if you're going left, right, backwards. You can be backsliding. Why? Because our effort from there on, if you know where you're standing, then you need to know where you're going. Standing in the right principles, standing in the truth is good, but that's not all. Because if you don't know where to go, what good is going to do to know all this stuff? What is my way? Which way should I go? I want to accomplish this. Yeah. What is my goal? What is my vision? And then Paul keeps saying in Hebrews 6:1, laying the foundation of repentance from dead works. So it's dead. See, man sometimes he leans towards certain things. He says sometimes man wants to do his own things. But at the end, it's dead works. If it's not going to contribute to your effort to move towards the goal, it's dead work. I mean, at least it's dead work as spiritually concerned. I mean, you can have fun doing it, but that's all you're going to get. That's all we're going to get. Oh, we have a nice time at church. We scream. I'm not against all of this stuff. But when you come down, where are you going? What is your goal? What is your purpose? When all that settles and the smoke is done, where should you direct in your thoughts and your path? See? 1 Corinthians 13:9-2. You know this is all familiar to you. For we know in parts, and we prophesy in parts. But then when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now some people said that is a word. The word has come. Listen, it has been restored completely. There's no more parts. Now, days before I have excuse because we couldn't have the whole thing, the whole enchilada. We could not see the whole, things were grayish, Paul says. But there's no longer things are great. So if we are not doing what we're supposed to do and going the way we're supposed to do, it is not God's fault. God has provided everything. The word has been restored. And there's no more excuse. There's no, you cannot even claim ignorance. We cannot claim the ignorance that I didn't know. Paul says, that which is in part shall be done away. There's no more part. The word has been restored. There's no more excuses not to know. People can reject it, but there's no excuse not to know who you are, what you are, and where you're heading. Being lost don't count any longer. I'm not lost. I used to be lost. I didn't even know where I was going and what I was supposed to do. My life, you know, what direction should I follow? What do I believe? Who do I marry? You know? Well, if you do it on your own self, on your own merits and your own abilities, you know, you do what I did. Every time you made a move, it fails. Why? Because life is complex. Complexity, I mean, I cannot even tell you what's going to happen in the next minute. You know? So, but now we know, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, and of course, I understood like a child, thought as a child, but when I became a man, when the word is restored, it's comparing, when the word was in return, was in part, it's just like a child that don't know anything much, so you only can do what you know. But once the word comes and is restored, it's just like you being a man now. You cannot claim, well, I don't know that. You cannot even claim ignorance. We cannot claim that, oh, I'm a child. I don't know that. Nobody taught me that. See, he says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, understood like a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, and that's what this message will do. It will put a backbone. It make you a man, and it make you a woman. See, this is what this message came. To put a backbone in our backs that we were missing. We were just jelly. Whatever the wind will blow, whatever the ocean flows, that's where we are going. That's what jelly and jelly things do. But I don't do that any longer. I only follow one thing, and one thing only. But Paul is saying, see, but I became a man and I put away childish things. And that is the sorriest thing I ever see. A grown man acting like a child. And a woman too, sometimes. You got the word of God. It tells you how to be, how to conduct yourself, how to dress, how to speak, how to do things. There's no excuse. Acting the way sometimes we act. Some of us, sometimes we act like children. It is time to grow up. I'm sad that you had to hear from me, but I'm the eldest one so far. We have to grow up. We cannot let everything bother us. Because that's not my goal. These are distractions. Satan throw distraction, and here's a brother that bothers you, and blah, blah, blah. And they said, and you know what? You're just like a horse with blinders. I don't go to the right. God told Joshua, don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Just focus on the journey. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And the rest of it don't matter. But she said, she offended. So what? Pray for her. That's what the Bible said, right? But she, you know, said something that it wasn't true. It was false. Said, pray for those that, you know, said minor things that is not true. They did Jesus. Did he retaliate it? No, we want to come up to the stature of the perfect man that is Christ in us, fullness of Christ. But what they did to Christ, you don't think they're going to do to us? And what did he do? Did he retaliate it at all? You know why? Jesus had no time. Jesus has no time to waste in those things. You know why? Because that not the things that was going to take him to fulfill his purpose. You know, if somebody, there's two things that's going to happen tonight. I'm preaching the word. If you already know that word, so I'm sharpening your life, your tools. So when you go out there, you use it. See, word against word, you know, we sharpen each other. But if you disagree or you have some kind of a different idea, then what it's going to do, you're going to learn something. We're going to learn something, and it's going to strengthen you, faith, tonight. Once we line up to this word, maybe because ignorance or something, but one, we can talk about it, and we can line up to that word, then you get a little stronger, stronger, stronger. But if you're already there, I'm going to sharpen your tools, and when you get out there, you can continue the fight. Because who wants to be cut with a dull tool? That hurts. You need a knife that just go through like a surgery. You know, they use this X-Acto. Oh, you don't feel it, but you feel the blood running. By the time you feel it's too late, you're already cut. I hit myself with dull machetes at home working in the grass and cutting. It's not fun. It hurts more than just having something sharp. You know, if you're going to kill me, let's get it over quickly. You know, don't use a dull. A dull knife. You're going to have to stab me 100 times before you can even get results. See? So, but that which is perfect come, that what is in part shall be done. We need to grow up. We need to grow up. Because there's no excuse not to grow up. Unless we want to hold on to our petty things that we have and disagreement. What he said and she said, but he's talking about me again. So what? Oh, yeah, it bothers your flesh. So what? It's your flesh. Are we going to be led by feelings and the flesh? So what will we obey the flesh for? Because that's what Satan wants. He wants to take you. He wants to sidetrack you. And if you obey that feeling, but pray for those that abuse you. He says, for now, we see through a glass darkly. That was before Jesus came into the scene. See? Paul is talking because Jesus came into the scene. Jesus was the restored word of the day. He was the Son of Man. Like we had a prophet that came and restored the word. Jesus restored the entire word that was lost throughout the Old Testament. He said, I didn't come here to destroy, but I came here to what? To expand, to tell you. They had the truth, the complete truth. The Alpha Church had it all, just like us today. Paul is saying, at one time we didn't know better. Paul was killing. Paul was, you know, pursuing, throwing the Christians. He didn't know better. His little glass was, or crystal ball, was kind of grayish. He needed to clean it up some, I guess. He couldn't see through our crystal ball. But now he has another way to see things. See, so no longer we doing that. See, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. We used to see through a glass, you know, but now we can see him face to face. Why? Because the word has been restored. Listen, I don't have to guess at this. I don't have to try, and I don't have to find somebody to explain things to me. I just let him. See? Because what? We are in a talking, you know, communicating, relationship, you know? And if I have any problem, I have any issues, if I have any questions, I pray and I wait. Because if you have a question, there is a biblical answer. And there is no more. You know, grace area, the word has been restored. He says, when I speak like, understood like a child, and I thought as a child, but when he became a man, I put away childish things. Now I want you to notice what Paul was doing before he received the truth was childish thing to him then. Why? Because he was doing something that he thought he was right. But see, we need to put our childish things away. It is time to be a man, and it's time to be a woman. Let us grow. Hebrews 5:12. For the time you are to be teachers. Okay. Paul is saying now, you've been this long in this message, and you cannot teach somebody else about. You're still asking your pastor, what's this? What's that? Or asking your brother, what is this? Tell Paul. What happened? In, you know. He says, well, you have to be teachers. You have need that one teach you, see? We should grow to the point that I'm not going to say that we're going to know all the answers. But our life, this is what Paul said, our life is an open book. It's an epistle read by what? So if I want to know what a good husband it is, your life should tell me. I should read your book. Well, by the things you do, the deeds you do, I know, you know, what a good man is, what a good wife is. You know, if I want, you can teach me. You don't even have to say nothing. I can look at you, how you conduct yourself, how you talk, how you move, how you act, how you love your brother, everything that is in the Bible. And I look at that mirror and I say, well, can you see yourself in that mirror or not? But I don't need no one to teach me. I can look at Henry's life and I can learn. You can look at my life and you can learn. My life, your life, at that stage of maturity should be an open book that everybody can read and know what the truth is. In fact, you don't even have to open your mouth and preach a sermon. People can see you. People can see your life and they can, and you're teaching them. Wow, you're working over here and I never see you upset. And I mean, the way they treat you around here, I will be. But you don't, I mean, you don't curse, you don't dance, you don't party, you don't entertain. You are the most boring person I know, but you're happy. Yeah, that's what they told me. So one time I was at work and they asked me, what do you do for fun? I go to church. What? Yeah, listen, I don't like apple pie. I don't like football. Never played, never went to a game. I'm not the average American guy. So listen, I don't even like this and that music that you like. So what do you do for fun then? Well, if I want to dance, I go to church. If I want to go and have a good time, I go to church. And they look at me and they say, you are boring. Well, I'm boring. They never get enough. They work for the weekend, every weekend. The paycheck is for the weekend, from weekend to weekend to weekend to weekend. Is that fun? I know, I've been there, I know that. That wasn't fun. Because you never satisfy that. So I told him, you know, if you think I'm bored, let me stay that way. And you go ahead and have your fun, because that's all you're going to get. But I'm not bored. You know, Brother Andy was preaching. Christians are not bored people. Christians are happy. Amen. Christians are joyful. He was talking about joy. Christians are glad. Christians, you know, when you come to church, you don't come with a long face. Oh, I got to go to church. No, I'm glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And when you come to that door, you have a big smile on, like you work at Walmart, you know, receiving people with a big smile. That's all they need. You don't have to shake my hand. You don't have to say anything. Just give me a smile, because sometimes I need just a good smile. That's all. You know that smiles are contagious. If I laugh, you will smile. If I get serious, you get serious. Because you are identifying with what's going on. No, I'm getting too hot now. Hold on. For when the time ought to be teacher, you have need to want to teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk again. You know, you're still going back to the same thing and the old thing and the old thing. You don't grow because baby needs milk. You come to church, how many years in the 40 years, and you're still acting that way? You haven't even grown yet. It says, you still need milk, and you cannot even, you don't have teeth, you know, like babies. Babies cannot eat meat. They're not fully mature. They don't have a mouthful of teeth. But when you have a mouthful of teeth, and all you want to drink is milk, nothing against milk. I don't like milk. But if you like it, that's fine. When I was weaned, 5 years old, since 5 years, I haven't drank milk yet. If I drink a cup of milk a year, it's because my wife, sometimes, you know, she's a cereal killer. Yeah. She loves cereals. She eats cereal in the morning and night and at lunch. She don't care what time it is. She loves cereals. I call her the cereal killer. I hope somebody's monitoring this communication. And sometimes she convinced me, you know, at night we're laying there in bed and I'm hungry. You know, I get hungry before I go to bed. And she said, well, let's get some cereal. Okay, but that is once or twice a year. And then she put a little quarter cup of milk in it. That's all. I let it soak a little bit. I drink it, but I eat the stuff, but I don't drink the milk. She can have it back. She puts it back in her bowl. She loves milk. I don't. You know why? Because I was lactose intolerance. That's what they call it. Since I was born. I was raised with goat milk. Now give me some goat milk. I love goat milk. You haven't tried goat milk? You don't know what you're missing. I used to have a goat. We used to have in Puerto Rico, you know, we have some animals and we had a goat there or two. So I make coffee and I take my cup and I go down to the basement and out to the field. You think I'm gonna wait for go to the store for Walmart to get a bottle? Because that's what some of the people think that milk comes from the store. No, I go down there and I just go, psh, psh, couple of drops, and I was done. Yeah, I'm not telling you lies. We do the cows, you know, all the ñan las vacas, you know, when we do that. I don't have to wait until they go to the process of, what do they call them, harmonizing, whatever. The process they put the milk through, they put it through pressures, little jets, so they can break all the fat and then become one. And when you're drinking the milk, it has the fat and everything. In the olden days, when we did the cows, we just put the fat around and we dip the tin and that's it. Oh, but that has a lot of viruses and bacteria. It has to be, hey, I'm here, I'm alive, 72. I haven't died yet, and I drink raw milk. See, the devil always trying to scare you. So, Paul is saying, you see, become need of milk. See, they can handle the strong meat. Now, Titus 2:3 says, I left my watch today anyway. He says, teaching the aged women, he says, and the aged man too. We are in this age. We are the age. No, this is age with all. Likewise, that they be in a behavior as become holiness, not false accusers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things. Your life should be teaching others what the word means. You want to know what God said? Somebody should look at your life and say, this is, see. What the message? What is the message? He is the message. I am the message. See? So, they're not there yet. They should be there. At the time you're getting closer and closer to maturity, your life is an open book. Your life is telling the story of what you believe. See? You don't need to tell them. They know. Now, Brother Branham says here in the first seal, he says, and only is to be revealed in the last days. If this is the last days, so it is revealed. He says, when this actual seal is broken, broken to who? Not to Christ, but to the church. Notice now, oh my, that just makes me tremble. Hope that the church truly understands it. They didn't. What I mean, you people, I am going to call you what? Bride. See that you understand. You know when was this? In 63, that was almost 60 years ago. You know, some people started that journey 60 years ago. My journey started in 1989. I'm 72, but I'm actually 32 years old in Christ. I was born in 1989. My second birth was in 89. Now, yours could be a little later on, you're younger, but nevertheless, that's why we are in different walks of life. But I was born in 1989. I'm only 32 years old. So next time you ask me how old I am, I'm 32 years old. So it says, see that you understand. Now listen what 2 Corinthians says. And above all these things, put on what? Charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Remember I talked to you about love last time? So I'm not going to go into it. I'm just telling you the process that we are going through, that how to become this. And it's all a process. But once you're getting closer to be your full potential, this thing has to be in you. Love, forgiveness, responsibility, you know, teaching. See? When I was raising my children, I didn't tell them only what to do. I told them the rules and I told them what to do, but I taught them with my life that what I believe and I told them to do, I will practice with my life. You know, some people smoke and drink, and the kids is 15 years old and he starts smoking, and the father said, that's not good for you, don't smoke. How can you tell somebody don't do something when you're doing it? I mean, the words are right. And you can be saying, and I can be saying the right things, but your life will testify if you are living or not that to that portion. Speaking the truth in love, we grow up. So, which is the head? Which is what? Christ. Now, growth. Let me expand a little bit more in growth. Brother Brown says, the statue of a perfect man. And now we put the blood of Jesus Christ in. See? And that brings the faith of Jesus Christ. See? The blood of Jesus Christ brings the faith of Jesus Christ. If you're under the blood and you are redeemed, that means the blood redeemed, then the faith of Christ is in you already. Yeah, there's no excuse now. Yeah, we're starting and there's no excuse. We have that faith. He says, and that brings the faith of Jesus Christ, the virtues of Jesus Christ. The knowledge, remember, in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the temperance of Jesus Christ, the patience of Jesus Christ, the godliness of Jesus Christ, brotherly kindness of Christ, the love of God, which is Jesus Christ. He is the head of the that controls you and me. He is the man in the tower that controls you and me. So if the Holy Spirit that is Christ in me is controlling me, he has to do the same thing in you. We cannot have two different Holy Ghosts or two different Christ. Listen, I hate to say it, but we should supposed to be doing the same thing. In the sense, when it comes to the word, not two different things. It says, he has his head on the control, and you feel is the foundation, faith, a man controlled by the head. There you are. There is the perfect man when he possesses these virtues. So, a mature man, fully, Brother Branham, possess fully mature. So, to be fully mature, you have to have all this. So, where are you are? I don't know. I know where I am. But that's what I tell you. I'm not this. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not this, but I know what I am. And I don't know where I'm heading to. I don't know what my next step is. He says, there's a perfect man of God when he possesses these virtues. Okay? So you can guess yourself how many of those you possess. And possession don't mean, that, okay, I understand. Yeah, I got it. Christ is in me. I got it. No. What is your life saying? You want to know who you are? If I want to know, let's see, Brother Joel Blanke, I used to ask Sister Susan. Yeah? He's not going to tell me the whole thing. He's going to leave the juicy parts out and everything. But I know Sister Susan knows him because what he believes, you know what Brother Brown says? She is what he believes. Your wife is what you believe. So if you want to know what a man thinks, look at the wife. Look at the wife. See, when he possessed this spiritual, now this is, but each age, God has placed this thing into his church. No excuses. It is here. It is here tonight. God has placed it in this church. He says, and the pattern it by showing that each individual has this, the pattern by showing this is possess this quality. So God has put this in every church. And if you got it, it's because, and if you possess these qualities, it's because God has put it in the church and he put it in you. By the blood, of course. And this being, when it's completed, is the church of God going to the rapture? And this being uncompleted is a servant of God in the church of God that's going into the rapture. Glory, see what I mean? There you are. There's your full thing. That is your full maturity. So as long as we are not there yet, the rapture cannot happen, Brother John. Until we get all these things, and I'm not saying getting it, they have to come out. They have to be manifested in our life. Second Peter says, according to his divine power, you know all these things. I'm trying to hear you. According to his divine power given unto us that pertain unto life of godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory, to glorification. See? Through the knowledge, to the revelation of his will, to his knowledge. And he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great precious promises, that by these you might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world. Now, and beside these, I give all diligence and do unto your faith. Now, he's going to talk about this virtue, knowledge. To your knowledge, temperance, to your temperance, patience, to your patience, godliness, to your godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. But if these things be in you, now this is the part that I want you to pay attention. If these things be in you and abound, not only is good enough that just to know and to be in you, it has to be over. Your cup is not good only to be halfway full or to the rim. It has to overflow. You understand? It has to overflow. It says, "About they make you, they make that you shall neither be barren." Barren why? Like Sarah, not unfruitful. In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are the things that is going to make us be fruitful, mature. You know? So, if they are bound, not only there, but they do abound on us. But it says, But he that lacketh this thing is blind and cannot see far off. Don't know where he's going. Don't know where he came from. He's just blind, he says. and had forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Therefore, the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. So this is what the calling and election sure. If he called you, he saved you, and he redeemed you with your blood, then the only way I can make my calling sure that that happened is that this, I possess these things in my life. Not only possess them, but they're in display. There's no other way. Now, Brother Van says, he said, now, the first thing that Pentecost produced was what? I had to go back to this one I read to you. The first thing Pentecost produced was what? Brotherly love. Why? The Son of Man has come. The word has been restored. The Holy Ghost has fallen. See? Ain't that happened in this age too? The message came, restored, to take us back to the Holy Ghost, to take us back to Christ. See? He says, the word portion, he says, the middle wall of petitions and made the brotherhoods. There's no wall. If we have wall, we're in the wrong place. It should be no walls here. If you cannot sit, you can stand your brother even when you disagree and you still love him, there's walls. You know, I hate to say this. Some of us, we put walls. Some of you are not very open. Maybe that's your character. I don't know. That's your temperance. But some of you are not very open in conversations. Sometimes when I talk to some of you, and I'm going to tell you who, now, it could be anybody, I have to scoop things out of you like by asking you a question, because I have to scoop, because I think some people are afraid to open up too much and to let people know who they are. Why? This is church. This is family. What should we be afraid to know? So, you know what I call that? We engage in what we call a small talk. How you doing? Oh, good. But God bless you. Okay, you going to? Yeah, and that's it. Americans like that. For small talk. When people ask me, hey, do you have some time to talk? I said, but how many hours do you have? Because I like to talk. You know, but this thing, hey, how you doing? Oh, yeah, God bless you. And we do it at church too sometimes, even though this is not a place to talk, busy with each other. But how many of you are very open, honest, and sincere? I can be sometimes with different people in this church, and some of you are, I'm not saying that this is bad. Maybe the things that happen in your life that make you put walls because you don't want to get hurt again. But see, we're not here to hurt anybody. Yes, you have to be wise. You know what? Who you're talking to, what you're telling. Not everybody you can confess anything or tell him anything. I understand that. But we should not be putting walls. We should be sincere and honest when we talk with each other. We should have no agendas. See? And Paul is saying, you know, brotherhood. Paul spoke of this brotherhood and gave the gift of the Pentecostal church and all this thing. You know, a sign of growing is when you start trusting someone, you know? I mean, marriage is based on trust, love and trust. And the more, you know, the more you are. What do you think you trust God in your life? Because he's worthy to be trusted. He will never fail you. Whatever he says he do, he will do. And you trust him because that, he will never fail you. He will never leave you. And you trust him. Okay, do you trust your brother? Maybe not in that way, but what's wrong with the picture? Now, if a brother or a sister still acting like a child, of course, but a mature son and daughter of God, you know, older women to teach the younger woman, and the same thing with men, see? All I'm saying is, sometimes we put walls. I'm not saying that the walls are wrong and you're wrong. Sometimes it is just a way we've been hurt before and we don't want to be hurt, so we close ourselves in. We don't want to show too much because we're afraid it happens again. You know, that happened to a young lady I was counseling. Her boyfriend left her after, you know, she thought that was it. You know, that's the love of the life, and something happened, and she was heartbroken. And she's just crying, and I told her, you know what? That's life. But you cannot now build a wall, because not every man is that way. And you cannot just close yourself to the world, to every man, and they're thinking that they're going to, that's all they want to hurt you. See, because that's what happened. Life teaches certain things that we don't like. And then we start putting walls. See? I don't think there should be any walls in church. I've been with you guys long enough. And you know me. So, I don't have walls. You want to know me? Just sit down and have some time and invite me to have some coffee. I tell you. I tell you who I am. I tell you where I came from. I tell you where I'm going. See? So, Paul is saying, here's the reason that people act that way, you know, because their reality is different than the desired reality that they want. So they have a gap. It's a gap in between their reality and what they desire to be. And that's what I'm trying to do, fill up the gaps. There should be no gap when we are walking. This is what it says. What does it mean to live up to your full potential? Okay, so one of the things, you need to step outside your comfort zones. Because sometimes we come to church and we just don't like to let go. Why? Because they're going to see you. God is not going to embarrass you. Our brother Jose, he didn't embarrass you, right? And after you got done, what happened? You loved everybody, because that is what that produces. If you don't produce that, then I don't know why you run. Yeah, good exercise. Anyway, see what it produces when you come down. So sometimes we are in a comfort zone. Oh, Brother Doc says all the time, yeah, I'm not the emotional type. Well, let me catch you in the ball game. I've seen you guys, some of you guys that you say you're not that emotional. I saw you when we had that little harvest, you know, sister. You were playing hard, and you was laughing hard, and you were kicking dust and dirt, and you were huffing and puffing and sweating. You were having fun. And if we come to church, and what happened? Well, I'm not the emotional type. Yeah. Kind of late for that. See, we create these little comfort zones, you know, and we have it already in our minds. Well, you know, I'm not going to clap too hard, I'm not going to say amen too hard, or whatever the excuse is. We should not have any. We need to step out of our comfort zones and let God be God and do whatever He's going to do. And if you feel moved, Brother Doug says sometimes, you know, somebody came to me and told me, I almost ran, I almost screamed. And Brother Doug said, why didn't you? Because we get locked up in our comfort zones. What is the people going to say? Says, and we need to expand our horizon, our boundaries. You see, mentally, well, I'm going to get that. I don't want to get it in front of me. So I need you to understand that we are not bored people, and we are not unhappy people, and we are not losers. Like the word said, we are losers. And we are not, you know, crazy. Like some people says, we are not average people. If you come to church with an attitude, with a mentality that you're an average person, we are not average people. We don't do average things neither. You know? Because the average people get average results. So if you come to church and you're just an average Christian, what do you think you're going to get? Average whatever service. It's a mental attitude. You get in your comfort zone, and this is my average me every time I come to church. But what do you think we're going to get? If you're going to get better results, something got to change. As long as we keep doing the same thing we do and expecting another change, that is insanity. So you have to get out of your comfort zone sometimes. But the Brother says, sometimes, well, it just come to me sometimes, but the Brother says that, sometimes we gotta go, we gotta get out of. Out of what? order in order to what? So you guys that are very orderly lives, and you just, and this is what I do here, and this, and you're so orderly, and in church, you know, I sit here and I do this. You got to get out of order. You have to get out of that comfort zone. See, but why do I have to do that? Why? Why can't I just be? You can continue being what you want to be and stay in that comfort zone. You know what that's going to produce? The same thing every service. So we are not average people. See? We don't live average lives. But the Brother said we are odd people. We are not average people. See? Now, Satan wants to convince you that you are. That you are an average person. You're just an average Christian. You know? Well, you know, you're fine. Just go to church, sit down, enjoy the service, you know. Whatever, clap, and maybe once in a while say amen or whatever. But see, don't get too fanatic. But when we go to the ball game, we get very fanatic. But listen, don't get too fanatic. Well, that's average. I don't want to live an average life. You know what I want to live? I want to live a life that is what I call extraordinary life. Let me find another word for that. I want to live a life that is, yeah, extraordinary, because that's what we live. We are not average people. We are not losers. We are a special kind of people. We are extraordinary people. You know, if you can know the things that happen in my life every day, it is not average for me. And my walk is very extraordinary. There's miracles in my life. There's healing, churches. I enjoy God. I enjoy His presence. There's nothing average about my life. And when I come to church, there's nothing average about my life. My life is extraordinary. Who can say that Jesus' life was average life? Huh? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He healed the paralytics. Now, you think that's average? He didn't live an average life. Now, he didn't create any reputation. He didn't want any reputation. It is all right to be extraordinary and be special. But you know that that is God on you. It's not you. So we are extraordinary people. And we do extraordinary things every day. Every day I feel His presence. Every day I need something. Every time something happens, He protects me. He blesses me. He kisses me. He gives me. Listen, my life is far from average life. And when I come to church, I want my life to be far from being an average life. I want to give it all to Him. Amen. Like the prime minister said from Israel, one day he says, they ask him, do you believe in miracles? No, I live by miracles. And our life, every day, if you knew the things that would happen to you that you don't even know that God... Your life is not an average life. Why? Because God, you know, keep us. Listen, my friend, Jesus Christ was the first one of the super race. Do you know you are super? What is so average about a super race? If He was the first one, there's some more coming. So listen, we belong to a super race. We belong to a special kind of people. That's what the Bible said. We are not an average people, and we are not boring either. So don't let the devil tell you, just be quiet and stay there, enjoy that, and that's all it is. No, we are a super race. We got super power. See? The angelic hosts, they're all over the place. What kind of life is ordinary life, you know, average life, with the things that we see every day, we hear every day? The world is going into chaos. And I don't need to go and give you all the negative stuff. My life is peachy. I have joy. I have peace. I have patience. I have love. There's nothing average about all those things. So when you come to church, that is my next step, and I'm trying to finish. I don't even know what. Let me see. Okay. Listen. How do you live that kind of a life to the full potential, to your full potential? First thing is a mindset. Okay? What is a mindset? Deeply held beliefs, attitudes, assumptions that we create about who we are, how the world works, what we are capable of and not doing, and what we deserve, and what is possible. That is a mindset. See, and sometimes your mindset is different than my mindset, because some of those things, I don't see it the way you see it. I perceive things different than you perceive things, depending on what it is. Why? Because that is the natural mindset. You already know and you believe. You don't believe when you see. You believe when you process what you know, the experience you have. It tells you, well, that is what that is. I perceive that to be this. But it's not something that is, it doesn't have to be a fact. It is something that you have created. That's your mindset. You know, here we have a variety of people. I come from Puerto Rico, and my mindset was very different in the natural. It's very different than yours. I don't like peas on the tacos. My wife is Mexican. She likes peas. That's not my mindset. Cherry pie? I do. Apple pie? No. That's my mindset. Why? Because the things that happened to me, the things that shaped me and mold me, my culture, my society, my peers. See? And that's it. It's a mindset. But before I go any further, you have to lose that mindset. Because it's only one mind that you should have up there. And that is the mind of what? Christ. That is the mindset that we need. So if whatever we do comes short of this mindset, then it's your mindset, it's not his mindset. If I have his mind and you have his mind, we should be thinking the same thing, the same way. Oh, no, but we don't do. Yeah, because I have another mindset. That's called the flesh. See, Brother Brown says, seeking after Jesus. And now listen to this closely. Any divine promise of God, the right mental attitude towards that divine promise of God will bring it to pass. If you can look at it right and believe, is that way that it is written. So again, you look at the written part, and then you believe it. This is where we're having a little problem. This is the mindset. When I look at the word of God, I believe it if I understand it or not. Just because it's written and he said it, that's all. I don't need no more explanation. I don't need nothing. Somebody to tell me what it means. See, written, he says, he said it, and I believe it. But the second part of that is, then you believe it in your what? In your heart. So first, it has to come through your mind. I know that. But you said, he said it, I believe it, and that is settled. And then it drops into your heart, and you believe. The Bible says, if you can believe and profess, it says, from your mouth, that God raised Jesus from the dead. Not only that, that's not sufficient to believe the written. The facts, those are the facts. That happened. You can believe the facts. That's the facts. But then you don't stop there. The facts don't give you much, because the facts is just one element. That's the word. And the Bible said the letter by itself will kill you. That's just the word. You need to have the second element, that is the supernatural part. That is the heart, it says. And you can believe in where? In your heart. Now, I believe with my mind. I don't believe with my heart. But see, this is the key. That's not me. See? If I said, that's the truth, that is the truth. So what happened the second time? Something in here had to say, amen. So that is why sometimes we look at the word, and that's what the domination do. They know the word. You cannot argue with them. They know the written word. But they do believe it? No, because they don't do it. So what he's saying here, you believe the written, God is your word. And take that right mental attitude toward that divine promise. It is bringing it to pass. Because there is no defeat. Faith cannot be defeated. There is no defeat to faith. So there's only two senses. I mean, there's only one sense in your soul. It's called faith. It's not your faith, but it's his faith. And he says, amen. And you said, I believe it. Something here says, amen. And that's zero. And that's all it is to it. Amen. Brother Brown says, the right mental attitude said, okay, so our mindset is not what I think about myself. This is what I want to get to it. But rather what God thinks about you. I don't care what I think about myself, but I care what he thinks about me. That is my right. When you come to church, if you come with your mindset, then you're worried about what you think. Well, I don't care what you think. And I don't care what I think, but I do care what he's thinking, what his mind is, what his word says. See, because we cannot have any disagreement if we are talking about the same thing. He says, the mindset is not what I think about myself, but rather what God thinks that I am. That is the mindset. We know who we are, where we come from, and where we're going. Next time the devil come to you and tell you, you know, anything different than that, just tell him where he's going. What is his end? I'm telling you what is my end. I tell him where I came from, what I am, and what I'm going. And I can tell him, too, where he's going, too. See? And I will be in the kicking committee to kick him in the pit of hell as well. But that is not my mindset. That is his mind in me. So when we think about things, we need to think about what the word says. Listen to what Brother Brown said, expectation. Just for a little text. If I should call it that, I want to speak for a moment or two on the word expectation. So, mindset, expectation. We always get what we expect. So, if you don't think you are, you know, being built up to a full potential, you will never get there. You get whatever you expect to get. That's why it's so important to have the right mindset when you come to church and when you speak. He says, we always get when people expect anything, then they usually get what they're looking for. It is a mental attitude that you have. Remember, this is, and never forget it, the right mental attitude towards the promise of God will bring it to pass. The right mental attitude towards the promise of God, it doesn't take a gift. Now, listen at this closing. It don't take a gift of healing. If you are sick and you need healing, I don't need to go and pray for you. What you have to do is, what is your expectation when you came in? What was your mental attitude when you came in? Brother said, you don't need to have a gift of healing. And he says, doesn't take a gift of healing to heal sick people. Any person in here has right to meet Satan, what? Any. Where, if you are a Christian and defeat him in any grounds that he could stand on. This is growing, see? It's not my mind. It's not my attitude. It is his attitude and it is his mind. As we're growing and growing and growing closer and closer to have a full potential, that means that as I grow, I'm acquiring his mind. And I'm losing my mind. It's not no longer my attitude, my mental, you know, set or how things should be, but how things be according to his will. He says, the second thing we have mindset. The second thing is motivation. See, a motivation is the purpose one has for taking action. You know, okay. You got a mindset, you have the right expectation, but if you're not motivated to do it, what good it is? I mean, we can sit there and we have all the right reason for being there and doing the right things, but if we are not motivated to do it, you know, Jesus is not, we're not waiting in Jesus. You know that you have to make your first step. You see? Because he had done everything he's going to do. Okay, I love God, and I love his word, and I got the right mind and the right thing, but I'm not too motivated to go to church. So you think that's a mindset, and you can have it, and you can have the right expectation, but if you don't do something about it, what good it is to have the right mindset and everything if you're not going to put it in practice? You know, I'm not trying to be insensitive. We all have our unique circumstances. We have our situations, and we have our struggles. I have them too. God knows that. But that is not my best. That is what Satan wants me to live. Sometimes I don't want to get up in the morning. Every time I get up in the morning and I jump on the floor and I go like this, yeah, it's pain. Every morning I get up, it's pain somewhere. I don't want to get up. But you think I'm going to stay in bed all day? So I have to motivate myself to get out of bed. Every morning I have to motivate myself to get out of bed. How different ways you motivate yourself to get out? Because if you don't get out, you don't do anything. And if you don't do anything, you don't get anything done, and you don't get anywhere. The same thing is with church. If we don't motivate ourselves to do things, you know, the devil is very funny because he plays in all our feelings. And if you said you're tired, and if you said this and that, well, he plays on that string. Well, you know, I know you're tired, and it's a Wednesday, and look at this guy, it's almost 9 o'clock. You know, he don't know the children have to go to school. Let me tell you something. I've been there and I've done that, but forget about that. Listen. Where do your strength come from? Answer me. Where did your strength come from? So you think sleeping 5 more minutes and not coming to church, you're going to gain strength for tomorrow? Oh, you guarantee me that? What a mindset. I used to work hard, and I used to go to school and study, and I used to preach, and I used to do the same thing Brother Doug did. But you know where I got my strength from? It wasn't with the food I ate and the diet that I had. My strength comes from the Lord. I was tired? Yes. I didn't want to go? Yes, I'm human. But you know what? I said, Lord, you are my strength. Tomorrow, you know, I have to go to work, and I'm going to need to rest. He is my rest. He is my strength. You know, when I go to sleep, that's what I believe. No, let me stay half more hour. Maybe you think that half hour more in bed is going to give you more strength? Where did you get all these ideas? You know, it don't work because it never worked for me. So when my mindset is, he is my strength. So if I come to church, I know I'm going to leave late. That's our mindset. I know the children have to go to school. I know I'm tired today. But you think you are going to gain strength by deciding what to do? No. Come to the service, and sometimes you'll be amazed. Wow, you get up next morning and look like, wow, I feel good. Well, it wasn't the staying. You know, the longer you sleep, the tired you get. You know that? That's why I don't stay in bed past 9 o'clock. I know some of you guys get up at 5. Okay, forget that one. Some of you guys get up at 5 in the morning. Okay, those days are over for me. Sorry, I'm retired. You know what retire mean? I'm tired again. I'm retired. So that's what I am. Double tired. So I deserve a rest today, yeah. Anyway, so motivation. We have to have our motivation. And our motivation don't come from the things we do or the things that we think we need to do to be motivated. The only motivation comes out of the word of God. He says he's my strength. That motivated me enough. Forget about my flesh. Forget about my mindset. That motivates me to go and do. I'm tired? Yes, but I'm going to go. Why? Because he promised me. He is my strength. And tomorrow when I get up, I said, you told me you my strength. I need to rest tonight. I need to somehow. Now, another thing is a method. What good it do to go to New York? You want to go to New York. You want to get in your car. You took your day. You took vacation. You know where New York is at. But you don't know how to get there. We all need to have a way to know how to get from point A to point B. You just don't start a journey and say, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to Alaska. But that's not Alaska. That's the East Coast. Alaska is this way. Oh, okay. So you turn this way. Now you're going to L.A. or somewhere. So what I'm saying is that you need to have a way to accomplish what you desire. See? Some people like to do a lot of things and they never get them done. You know why? Because they don't have a way to do them. They don't know how to do them. They don't have a method, a way, a process to do things. See? And this is what church is here. Church is where you learn how to achieve maturity. Church is where you can meet that standard, achieve that standard, and be capable to be a perfect Christian. The ministry is responsible to equip you and to help you to realize your potential. Here we give you direction. You know, sometimes we have to give you something else, but direction is good. You know, here is where you come down and out, and we lift you up, the way we lift you up. Church is where, you know, it's just like a school. My daughter is a teacher. But what is her responsibility? To make sure those children are capable to become their full potential, whatever that grade it is. If they learn everything, in that's the full potential. So when you come to church, this church, the ministry, is to teach you, to instruct you how to become a full, mature sister or brother. So why do we take it so lightly? So that is our responsibility. And what is your potential tonight? To be like Jesus. Don't you like to be like Jesus? But we're trying to encourage you. We're trying to show the way. We're trying to teach you the word, how it works, what is the process, what you need to do, the right mindset. You have to be motivated. I cannot motivate you to come to church. It has to come from you. It has to come from you, from inside you. And if it don't come from there, then it's not worth it. See? Let's see. Let me do this quickly and I finish. The resurrection of Lazarus. Brother, I can just see them. See those COAGS. That is a part of a mechanism, you know, a device that have parts, the parts. He says, and that is the way the body is. We are parts. See? Coming together like this, he explains. Something got to happen. Something got to happen. Amen. It's just not going to happen just because we come to church. It's not going to happen just because we read them. Something else is going to happen. It says, she at the right man, the right attitude. The right man means the right man with the right expectations. The right Christian, the right attitudes, the right one, approach. Everything moving just right. Can you get it that way just now? Now, I'm going to finish almost. I need a few more minutes. But I'm going to give you an example of the Bible. Let's read with me quickly. John 11, we start in verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and what? That's expectations. That's the right mental attitude. You come to church, you don't come to meet me, you don't come to meet anybody. Your mindset is, I'm going to what? To meet him. Listen, he's not going to meet you. You are going to what? To meet him. So that is the first thing. The first, the approach, the expectation. Second, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, Lord. See, you come to church and you give him all the honor, the respect. You humble yourself like Martha did and call him Lord, because he's the Lord of your life. And when you come and see him, you cannot even call him Lord unless it's through the Holy Spirit in your life, by the Holy Spirit. So the expectation, the mindset, the approach is you humble yourself when you come to church. And he says, Lord, I'm here. And then, but I know, he says, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother has not died. See, she didn't come and said, Lord, I called you and you never answered. Now you come and it's kind of late. It's been 3 days. No, she says, Lord, you're still in charge. You're still in, I don't care what happened to my life out there. When I come to church, Lord, here I am. See? He says, but I know that even now, this is Mary says, see, that's her expectation. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou will ask God, God will give it to thee. Wow, what a mentality. What an attitude. What an approach. You come to church, you don't need a gift to heal you. You don't need anything. You need to have the right mental attitude and the right approach to God. And that right mental attitude will get you what you want. You don't need someone to pray over you. You don't need anything. You already came to meet him. Is that not enough? He says, but now, even that with God, God will give it to thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Are you sick tonight? Are you depressed tonight? Are you having affliction? Are you have anything? You don't have to live the same way you came in. If you meet him, you didn't come to see me and meet me. You came to meet with him. Martha said unto him, I know that that shall rise again in the resurrection of that day. She know what the scripture says. See? So she quotes the scripture. She didn't quote, well, yeah, kind of late. Yeah, well, I'm going to have to wait until the resurrection now. Because you missed it, Lord. You should have been here. No. She's not complaining. She's not murmuring. You know? She said, I know. I know. So whatever the you said is what it is. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection, the life. He that believeth in me, though we were dead, ye shall live. And whosoever live and believe in me shall never die. Believe thou this. See, she said unto him, well, I don't know about that. Well, you know, I don't understand all that, so, no. Even if she understood it or not, I don't think she understood it. She says, yes. He says, yes. He says, yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ. My brother died 3 days ago. I called you. You wasn't here. But nevertheless, you still who you are. You still, and you still can do. Regardless, sometimes we complain and we murmur. Sometimes we say, I don't understand why this thing happened in my life. There's a reason. All we have to do is just accept it and let God be God in our lives. He says, thou Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. He says, and when she had says so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister, secretly saying, the master has come and called for thee. So this is a mature woman. Because what is the next thing she is going to do? Get her sister to stay home. See, you here and there's some home. But just because they are there, that doesn't mean that you should disregard them. And we are not going to say, well, if the rapture happened here, they're not going to come. No. What did Jesus say? Those are children of God. Go and get your sister.
See, this cannot happen unless your sister is here. Maybe your sister is somewhere. Maybe she's tired. Maybe she's home. But go and get. Listen, we are not leaving a hoof. We're not leaving a family. We're not leaving nothing behind. This is the time that if we are really that close to it, let's go and get Martha. Pray for those that are there, right, that have left. Listen, if they are children of God, God is going to put something in your heart, in my heart, to go after those. And Brother Brown said, as long as there's life in those bodies, we go after them. We don't just sit back and say, well, tough, you know, who told them to leave? See, a mature person always think about others instead of themselves. She said, and when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary her sister. Now, I like this word, secretly. It's going to be a secret going away. Not everybody's going to see it. And when that day happens, you know, maybe before it happens, we secretly go and get those that families. Hey, it is here. It is now. You start seeing the dead rise, and you start seeing family, and you run to whoever you need to run, say, it's on. Get in. We don't want to leave no one behind. Secretly saying, the master is come. And if we are in this church and we are that close and it happens, let's go and get, I don't care if it's the last minute before we leave, let's go and get those that have lost their way maybe. As soon as she heard that, she arose. She didn't stay home, you know. She was home streaming. No, she didn't come to church, but her sister would say, hey, you sisters and brother, let's go. It is time. Let's go to church. It is time. The Lord told me it is time. Let's go. We're not going to leave him behind just because. Not because. They're still your brothers and sisters. She rose quickly and came unto to him. Amen. Shall we stand? Sorry for the extra few minutes, but I needed to finish this. I'm not a preacher, but I preach and I teach. That's what I don't, you know, do the things some other people do. I'm not the same, I'm me. And I tend to more to lean in the teaching side than I'm leaning in the preaching side. That doesn't mean that I cannot do preaching. Once in a while, I do. When I go to Mexico, I had to do that. All the time that I was in Mexico doing things. Listen, it's okay to holler and scream. I like it too. But if you are not grounded in the word, everything that you heard, you forget when you go out. It was a good time. We had a good time. My intention is not to tell you something that, you know, all the good things so you can jump and holler. I'm not saying anybody's doing it. My intention is, this is what the word said, and this is what we should do, and this is what we need to be grounded. It's a word that we need to be grounded. So if I take my time, and sometimes, you know, it's not a hallelujah and praise the Lord, that is not my ministry. My ministry is to ground you into the word. Now that sometimes I get an inspiration and I leave the, I've done it before, and I leave my notes and that's the end of that. Yes, that happens too. Andy has his ministry and Brother Doug has his ministry, and we don't have two like ministries. So I am doing what I'm supposed to do. And that is my mindset. For whatever God shows to me to do things, whatever little bit it is or big things, that is what I'm going to do. Because anything else, I will fail. I like to be a first class Eli than a second class Doug or Andy. So let me be me and you be you. Amen. Let us pray, Father. Father, we thank you once again. Thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to come together. Thank you, Father, because we are looking, we're not looking here, but we're looking afar. We're looking at your promises. We're looking at what we can be. Not, we are fixing our eyes in the vision. Our full potential is to become like you, to be like you. Father, that is where our eyes are set, and we're trying to do everything the way you lead us and guide us with your Holy Spirit to do the things, Father, that is going to take us there, Father. We don't want to waste our time. We don't want to waste nobody's time. We don't want to take different routes. There's only one way, and that is you. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. You are the door. So that is what I want to focus, Father. I want to do everything that is going to get me closer and closer every day. Little bit looking at that full potential. I want to be like you. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be full with Christ and lacking anything or nothing, like the Bible said. Everything that I have need is in you anyway. I want you, Father. And everything I do, I want to do it with that mindset, Father, that the word says, and I believe it, and I do it. I don't need to question. I don't need to go and try to figure it out. I don't need to apply logic. You said it. I believe it. And you will bring it to pass. Father, we thank you tonight for these moments that we have spent together in this side of time. One of these days, this battle is going to be over. One of these days, the smoke is going to disappear. One of these days, the struggle is going to end. And then we will be standing there, Father, one of these days, full, mature. We're going to be standing as a witness that your word is the truth, that you are a real God, that you are what you said you are, perfect. Father, one of these days, we're going to see. Father, we might have to toil and struggle. Father, we might have to fight. We might have to fight for every inch of ground to go forward. But, Father, our reward is worth it. When we get there, it's going to be worth it. Every step, every struggle, every affliction, every hard time, circumstance, everything, it's going to be worse than that. In fact, nothing can compare what was going to happen in that day. Nothing. This little thing that we're seeing right now, that we make them so big that they think it's the end of the world, is not going to compare to the glory that we're going to see. Father, we thank you. We ask you, Father, tonight that I want you to bless your people, Father. Fill them with your spirit. Continue leading them and guiding in the right way, Father. Father, we want to do your will. We want to do what you bid us to do, Father, because we know that you got the best. You have us, Father, in such a way that we are your children, and you want the best for your children. And we know that, Father. And we thank you for that. Thank you for your blessings, for your word. Thank you for this moment, for this day, Father. We thank you for everything you do for us. Help us to be, Father, an open Bible. Help us to teach others with our life that you are the real God. Help us, Father, the way we talk, the way we move, the way we act, the way we converse with one another, Father. Help us to show the world that you are a real God. Because that is the only God they're going to see, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for saving our life. Thank you, Father, for coming in our life and changing our life. Because that's the only way they are going to change. Father, we can try all we want. And we probably have the same result. What I need is you tonight. Father, the power of changing life is in these bodies already. The power of death and life is in our mouth, in our tongue. What we said and what we do matters. So we better account for how we talk, how we say things to others, Father. Help us to have your mind. Let us have your ways. The way you were, the way you talk, the way you move, the way you did things, Father. Father, we have power in us to change us. Whatever we need from here to heaven is already in us. Help us tap into that, Father, into that source, into that mind, Father. And let's have the same attitude Jesus had, the same mind that he had. He came and became a servant to serve others. He was God in flesh. He could have a reputation who he was. But no, he became and he served us. And we need to serve one another, Father. We need to have that kind of a life. A life that Brother Branham says, when we serve others, we can look heaven. Open doors, Father. That is our life as we walk, as we know it, to help one another, Father, to serve one another. That is a sign of maturity, Father. We thank you again. Now we ask you to be with your people as they go home, Father. We're asking you to protect them and keep them, Father. And we love you and thank you once again for all you have done for us. Father, we love you and we adore you. Father, and we praise you. You are worthy of our praises. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. What are you singing? I'm not going to try to sing.